And how many of you know that you have a right to the power and the authority in the name of Jesus? Amen. You do. You have a right to it. And one of the things that I think plagues believers, and you've heard me use this term before, is that they don't take the time to find out who they are or what they have. Pastor and I were talking yesterday. We were talking about something that was circulating on Facebook among believers. And it's just wreck with division and all of that stuff. I'm thinking, don't they know who they are? And why are we getting involved in this? Why isn't someone saying, this isn't what we do? This isn't who we are. You know? And I'm finding it's the same when it comes to sickness, disease, demon possession, quote-unquote depressed neighborhoods, finances. All of it's a result of the same thing. Don't know who we are in Christ. Don't know what the name of Jesus does. Don't know what its purpose is. Just don't know. But we're believers. You know, how can you be a part of a family and you don't know anything about the parents? You don't know anything about what the family stands for? You know, you don't know what authority you have as being part of a member of that family. And I've told you before, I understood what it meant to be Miss Ruby's son. I knew the power associated with the name. I knew the authority associated with the name. And I knew the boundaries associated with the name. I knew when I could use it, and where I could use it, and how I could use it. And I took advantage of it because I wanted to get through life. I wanted to live a full life. I didn't want to be like some of the friends or people that I had read about that I didn't want to turn 17 because everyone was turning 17 and getting killed. So I wanted to stay 16 until I understood, wait a minute, you're Miss Ruby's son. You don't have those same issues. Well, wait a minute. I'm God's son. I'm God's child. I don't have the same concerns about issues and things that people have that don't know who they are that are not God's child. I am. We are. And we have to know it, and we have to act like it. Look at Mark 16. It's kind of hard for me to follow any guide slash syllabus slash whatever because I start reading things, and it takes me somewhere. Mark 16, because I want us to understand how important it is to believe, to be in faith. Because if we don't get that, nothing else will work. Okay. Afterwards, King James Version, afterwards he, Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat, as they sat at dinner, and upbraided them, means he got on his case. One translation says, took them to task most severely for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Jesus wasn't playing with his disciples when it came down to unbelief. He stuck it to them because they weren't believing. And he knew that what he was about to tell them required their faith to be at a high level, not a low level. They had to just flat out believe. I told one of my cousins last night, but they have a habit of, they text me with all these things that they get, and they say, is this a good thing to say? Is that a good thing to say? And I just said, listen, all of it's good if you believe it. If you don't really believe this, you can confess it from now till Jesus comes, and nothing's going to change. I said, and the sign that you believe it, it's not, I read this today, and something happens, I abandon it, and I look and I read something else. And that doesn't happen. I abandon that, and I try and find something else. And I keep going from person to person to person to person, asking for something and not holding on to anything. We keep bouncing around, going from healing line to healing line to healing line, because we're looking for this silver bullet, you know, that will work. Silver bullets only working on werewolves in the movies. Okay? This isn't a movie. This is real life. Okay? Jesus upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, after he does that, he feels he's gotten their faith where it needs to be. Says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now you get it. You see, okay, this is why he had to get their belief on the right level. Because there's going to be some things associated with my believing. If I'm not believing, then I'm not going to see these things. Because these things will only be there to those who believe. He said, in my name. I said, okay. In my name won't work if I'm not believing. It won't work. Said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. Why? Because you believe. If you don't believe, you can use the name. How many of you ever heard of the seven sons of Sceva? Yes. Okay. They tried to use the name, but they didn't have the authority to use the name. The name wasn't, they didn't earn the right to have the name. We do. We have the right to use the name. They didn't. So when they used the name, the devils were like, who do you think he is? They probably started casting a lot. Who's going to be the first one to hit him? Okay. But it says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You could say, in my name, you'll speak with new tongues. You can proceed each one of those with in my name because it's all related to in my name. You know that by the punctuations. You know, instead of saying and, there's a semicolon. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. But it's not going to happen in my name if you're not believing. So if we're going to use the name, we better have the associated belief along with it, or we're just blowing smoke. If you're blowing smoke, you're smoking, and that's not good for you. You're going to really need the name. But we have to understand, if you believe, you'll experience those signs. Because it says, these signs will follow them that believe. And once you start believing, then you can say, in my name. And that's so important because our healing is in the name of Jesus. That's what it is. It's not in the prescription. It's not in the clinic, okay? It's in the name of Jesus, period. Look at John 14. John 14. I'm in the King James Bible. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that does what? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, there's some information in that scripture that we miss. He that believes, the works that I do, he shall do also. What works? You have to find out what the works are that he did. He said, I believe the works that you did. I'm going to do them also. What did he do? I think you have to know what he did. You have to know how he did it. And you have to believe that it's so. And once you see, I'm finding out there's work involved with understanding these scriptures. Because I start reading things and I start saying, wait a minute, it has a little bit deeper meaning there. I can't believe the works you do if I don't know what you've done. What did you do? And do I believe it? If I don't believe it, I'm not going to do it. Because I'm not even going to attempt to do it because I don't believe it works. And there are people that don't believe being healed by faith works. So they don't do it. They think there's something wrong with you. When you express that you're believing, you're standing on the word, you're trusting in the Lord, they think you're nuts. Amen. Because they don't believe that they don't believe the works that Jesus did were true. Amen. So if they don't believe that he did it, then they can't believe that they can do it. Right. You have to believe the works. In order to believe the works, you have to know what they are. And you have to know why he was able to do all the things that he did. Because the scripture says, when you believe the works that he did, you'll do them also. What? You believe they work. Why do you believe they work? Because Jesus did it. And you believe they work for him. Amen. And so if they work for him and you do the same thing, they'll work for you too. I mean, that's not just spiritual, that's logical. It is, it's logical. We have to know what someone did in order to believe it. And that's in any level or in anything. We have to believe it. He says, "And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." So not only will I do the works he do, but more than what Jesus did will be accomplished. Why? Because he was one person, and now there are a whole lot of believers. I find it odd that we say believers and it's people who don't believe. How can you be a believer and not believe? You're a believer. So how can a believer say, "I don't believe that"? Then what you're saying is, "I'm not a believer." And that's why the principles of the believer are not working for you. A believer believes. A believer doesn't decide, "Do I want to believe that?" No. You know the source. God said it. That settles it. Period. But you talk about the biggest oxymoron, an unbelieving believer. That's worse than giant shrimp. He said, "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So I finished what I'm supposed to do, and I went back home, and I left everything else here for you. I've given you my name. I've given you my authority. Everything that I did, if you believe it, you can do. There's no reason I need to stay here. Everything you need has been done. I don't have to go back to the cross anymore. I don't have to shed any more blood. I don't have to have my body broken anymore. It's all been done. You just have to believe it and act like you believe it. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, "I go to my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." A lot of folks don't believe that, and they put all these different conditions on it. Jesus said, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." I think the most crucial part in that passage, again, is verse 12. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do." Everything rolls back to that. Are we going to believe everything that Jesus did? Because if we do, then we can replicate it. It's like what we're talking about with following in his steps. That doesn't just mean jumping in his footprints and having fun. It means, you know, you're doing every single thing that he did, you do. That's what it means by following in his steps. The steps are the example. And we're supposed to, like someone learning how to print, you see an A and you just take time just going over it. You stand there for hours now until you can duplicate it exactly. It doesn't just happen. It's not a flash in the pan. It takes work. Even from that, playing basketball, you're supposed to shoot, and I have to do it this way because I haven't been playing. Your arm should be like this, playing the basket. And so I would walk around and just keep doing this. We didn't have those contraptions that hold your elbow in that they have at these shooters' camp. We just walk around. Now, because it's been years, when I lift my arm up, the elbow's out here. Because I haven't been doing this. Because I don't do that anymore. Well, sometimes our faith is like this. Why? We haven't been doing that anymore. Amen. We started relying on other, well, it's not we were relying on other things. Faith has been put in other things. But we're no longer believing the word of God. We're believing metropolol. We're believing Lasix. We're believing, what's that, oxy, whatever these opioids. We're believing, we're putting our faith in those things. And it's damaging our faith in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Jesus is saying, you know me, and what I do, you'll be able to do them also. You know that the authority is associated with the name, and you know what Jesus did. And if you don't know, you can't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you can't do it. The Passion Translation, same passage, says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. That'll only happen now. Look at the criteria. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like. So if the Son is demonstrating, if you ask in my name, I'll do it, and that's the way the Father is, then everything we do needs to be in Father's will. And it's done. Because we try and do something that Jesus didn't do, guess what? It's not going to be done. And he said, this will show you how the Father is. Because the Son is imitating the Father. So that's how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Ask me in my name. You have to, again, believe that when you ask in his name, it'll be done. And because you believe that, you'll ask in his name. And I mean, we'll be serious about it. We won't be flippant with it. We will ask in the name of Jesus. We will command in the name of Jesus. We will demand in the name of Jesus. Because when you look that word up, ask in that scripture, it really means to demand for something that's due. I usually stop reading to demand. It wasn't until today I saw it said demand something that's due. And I said, now wait a minute. This puts it in a whole nother light for me. I know this doesn't happen to anyone here, but I've heard that, you know, when you have a debt and you're slacking your payments and you get behind, that creditor will send you a letter. That letter won't say, would you please send me what you owe me? No, it's a demand letter. Why can they demand it? It's due. It's due. We can demand, we can place demands on God when we demand anything in his name. Why? It's due us. Amen. We have to understand it's due us. And because it's due us, we have the right to place a demand out there because it's mine. You said this is what you would do for me. It's mine. With the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Healing is mine. I demand it. I demand it because it's mine. It's due. I should have it right now. I should have it. And that needs to be our attitude. But again, if we don't believe it, if we don't know it, we're not going to do it. And that which is due us, we will never get. If you have a debt and you don't place a demand for it, you think the person is going to just say, well, I'll do the right thing and pay him back. No, if it gets to the point when a demand letter has to go, I'm not saying that God is holding anything back. I'm just using an analogy here. But when you put a demand letter out there, that person, that creditor knows this person's already demonstrated they're not going to do what they said they're going to do. So I have to demand that they do it. Sickness says to you, God's not going to do what he said he would do. So you put the demand out there. You put the demand out there. I noticed something about Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he healed someone, when he invoked the name of Jesus, they didn't talk specifics. Neither did Jesus. Jesus, when he healed, they told the man at the gate, beautiful, get up and walk. They didn't care what the condition was that caused them. It didn't matter. All that mattered was that body was supposed to get up and move. And whatever had to be done to cause that body to get up and move, they believed that Jesus would do it. Why is that important? We don't know why something's happening. There are so many different reasons why something won't work right in your body. How can you possibly say which one it is when you're making a demand? Not we're not praying about this. We're past the praying stage. This scripture, you know, it's not talking about you praying to God. No, this is you placing a demand out there. That's right. You're putting it out there, and you want it, and you want it now, because you're entitled to it now. Not down the road by and by. Not, well, when I get to heaven, I'll have a healthy body. You won't need a healthy body when you get to heaven. You have a glorified body. No, you need it here. We need it here to move around here. We have to believe that. I had excited reading about this. These things have I written to you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm in 1 John 5. I started at verse 13. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. We know we get what we ask for because he hears us. How do you know that? Faith. Faith. Again, if you don't have faith, you're not going to believe. If you don't believe, you're not even going to take the time to find out. So we can't get away from it. We have to believe. We have to have faith. And I've found that usually one of those two is missing when someone's struggling in any area, not just with their health, but in any area of their life. They're not believing or they're not in faith. They're not getting what God promised. And the real tragedy in that is they're not recognizing that the problem is I'm not believing. The problem is I'm not in faith. They're thinking maybe God's word isn't true. And they're believing that. So it's not a matter that I don't believe, it's I'm believing the wrong thing. Because every single person walking this planet knows how to believe and knows to operate in faith. They just don't apply it to God. They apply it to natural things all the time. And you know all the examples. You go to work every week. You don't go and check the, your job's bank account to make sure the money's there. You take their word for it. They said, if you come in and do this, this is what I'll give you on payday. You say, okay. And you go and you work. I mean, you put in overtime. You do all. And at the end, come payday, you expect it to be there. Not once did you ever doubt they may have had a bad week and they can't pay me this week. Not once. And we've never seen the books. Never. We don't care. We get on airplanes. No one has ever asked, this plane isn't going anywhere until I see the latest maintenance record. I want to see the pilot's credentials. No, we just get on. How many of you get on a plane and you ask, if you're going to Charlotte, you say, now, this plane is going to Charlotte, right? You do? You just get on and go to your seat because you got to make sure you get a spot so you can put your carry-on on away before it's all filled up. But no one thinks, maybe this isn't going to Charlotte. They said they were going to Charlotte. You saw a sign that said they were going to Charlotte. So you got on the plane because you believed it. You didn't question it. But we question what God says. And I don't understand it. We see movies about people that get in their car and they turn the ignition and it blows up. Right? We get in our car, we turn the ignition and just go. We don't even think someone set a bomb in my car. The thought never comes in our thinking. Because we think that's ridiculous. No one's going, no, not my car. We don't even think about it. We don't even think, is it going to start? We have the nerve to get upset when we run out of gas. This car should move. But we'll question God. And the car dealer never promised us that the car would never have a problem. As a matter of fact, they try and get you to get an extended warranty so that when it has a problem, you won't have to go deep into your pockets to pay for it. We buy the car anyway. And we get in it and go. Anyway, expecting it's going to operate the way it was designed to operate. Well, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You mean to tell me his word isn't as good as a car dealership? His word isn't as good as an airline? Well, we have to doubt and question, did he really mean this? And then we start dissecting. Well, maybe he was talking about this, or maybe he was talking, no, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Amen. We have to believe it. Amen. It's just that simple. These things have I written to you that you believe on the name of the Son of God. We know if you ask anything in my name, we'll do it. He'll do it. But, and again, if you don't know what's due, how can you ask for it? If it's a demand, it's a demand. Let me see where I am in the notes. Okay. The early church used healing as a means of blessing the people, but it was also a way of advertising the gospel. That's what Jesus went when Jesus went around, he went teaching, preaching, and what else? Healing. Some that were afflicted. No, all. All that were afflicted and believed. Because remember, he went to his hometown, and there he couldn't do any mighty works except heal, says, a few sick folks. Nothing spectacular. Not because he, you know, was just got tired and, you know, ran out of his anointing gas. It's but the Bible says clearly why it didn't happen. Because of their unbelief. The account when you know, they were all in the house and there was no room for the man to come where his friends brought him with the stretcher, says the power of God was there to heal. No one got healed. Except that man that they brought, and they had to tear the roof open in order to get in. They really believed. Go in a stranger's house and open up the roof? You think, we don't even want to get out on the street and witness. Go to someone's house, tear open their roof, and lower someone down because that person wants to be healed. We have to understand that. The power is there to heal. But the power is dependent on you, first of all, knowing it's there, and secondly, believing that you have a right to it. He's understand. See, I remember, because this goes to authority. When my sons were little, when it was my week, I had them, and I fixed dinner. And I'd call them, okay, guys, come on and eat. And they'd look at it and they said, well, we wanted something else. And I said to them, I said, I didn't ask you what you wanted. Because if I had asked you what you wanted for dinner, I would have been obligated to prepare what you wanted. Because I asked you. When I ask you, I'm giving you the right to tell me what you want. And in that right, there's authority. If I ask you, what do you want, and you tell me, now I have to provide for it. But I didn't ask you. I told you, come and eat. You don't have authority over me. I have authority over you. Now, I was talking like that to my sons. I had to learn how to talk like that to my body. Because we allow our bodies to dictate to us how we feel. Or what we're going to do. Get up in the morning, sit on the side of the bed, get ready. And he said, I'm not standing up this morning. Not without pain. No. It's like, woo. I told you, I'm not standing up this morning. I'm like, oh, yes, you are. I would have leg cramps. And because I wasn't drinking enough water and sitting sedentary position, my muscles, and I would look at my leg and I would see it start going like this. And one time I had to drag myself to the kitchen, got an ice pack and put on there. Then the ice pack wasn't working. I said, oh no, this takes heat. So you drag over to the sink and get a cloth and hot water. I'm like, how pitiful is this? I'm literally pulling myself on the floor going, oh, this hurts, you know. And then one day I saw her, and I just stood there and I said, now you just relax right now in Jesus' name. You are not cramping up. No. Father, I repent for not drinking enough water today, but that still doesn't give you the right to cramp up. Because I haven't read any scripture that said you can torment me if I don't drink enough water. You know, so, and I it took about 5 minutes, but I said, I'm not going to grimace. I'm not doing anything. You're going to loosen up.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
I'm the one in authority, not this muscle that's in my leg.
Amen.
Well, it loosened up.
Amen.
I got up and got 24 ounces of water and drank some water. But our bodies don't have authority over us. I tell my body, you don't allow any sickness, disease, disorder, abnormalities, or malfunctions in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, well, you can do that?
Yes.
Well, the scripture says you present your body as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice doesn't have a choice.
Amen.
That's why it's a sacrifice, okay? And if it says present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that means my body has to do what I tell it to do.
Amen.
It doesn't dictate to me.
Amen.
So why are we letting our bodies dictate to us? You know, especially during holidays. We know, present your body a living sacrifice. Sacrifices are supposed to be unblemished. They're supposed to be pure. So how can I put my body as a living sacrifice after I've put things in it that God has told me not to? We need to think about those. Because we're talking about being healed, we're talking about the name of Jesus, but we do things that negate it. We think we can disobey God and then ask anything in Jesus' name and he'll do it. No, it doesn't work that way. Because if you're asking in his name, you're asking from a point of righteousness. You're asking from a point of obedience. And if you're not doing what God has told you to do, if you're not doing what Jesus has told you to do, he's not going to then turn around and just disregard what you and just give you what you need and what you want anyway. Now, God doesn't reward disobedience. If Jesus wanted to, let's look at it from this end. Let's take it literally. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he'll do it. And you're just out there in disobedience, doing whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. And you ask something in Jesus' name. He sends it. It can't get to you. What? You put this block of disobedience up there. You say, sure, well, let's think about it. I think I shared this here a few weeks ago, or if not here, on Sunday. When the man was blind, and Jesus spit on the ground, made clay, smeared it on the man's eyes, and he didn't say, okay, you're healed. He said, go wash in the pool. If the man didn't go wash in the pool, nothing would have changed. Except now when he had clean eyes, he'd have mud in his eyes. But he had to be obedient to what Jesus said, even though Jesus' actions, the reason Jesus acted that way was to heal him. But if he doesn't follow the instructions, he's not going to get what was given to him because he didn't follow the instructions. It's like you order a package and give the wrong address. It was sent to you, but it doesn't arrive. Well, you gave the wrong address. When we're disobedient, we're giving the wrong address. See, because we say, I'm your child and I love you. But God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if I don't keep my commandments, I'm giving the wrong address. I'm saying I don't love you. He can't send it to me. We have to understand that. That's why we have to look at what Jesus did. We have to know. See, we think the works are just the miracle works. He said, the works that I do, will you do also. How was his relationship with the Father? Are we studying that? Are we doing that? Are we just looking at the miracles? The miracles happened, folks, because Jesus himself said, I only do those things that the Father tells me to do. So every miracle that he's ever performed was at the request of or direction of his Father, period. And we're supposed to do what he did. So everything we do should be a direction of the Father. It's that simple. But we have to believe it We have to have faith in it so that we can do it and have the benefits associated with doing it. I want the name of Jesus to be effective when I use it. I need it to be effective when I use it. Why? Because I'm a believer. If I'm a believer and it's not effective, something is wrong. And it's not with the connection from God to me. If there's something wrong, it's a connection between me and God. And I have to do some troubleshooting, which is really just paying attention to what the Holy Ghost has been telling me anyway. You know, I just have to decide I want to hear it. Because some of us just don't want to hear it. You know, it always seems that, for me, it always seems that God would ask me to do things at key times in a sports season. You know, one time it was fast television for a week. It was March Madness. Like, you ask me now? Why couldn't you ask me in the off season when there's nothing on I want to watch anyway? Then it wouldn't have been a sacrifice. Are you understanding? So the early church healing was used as a means of advertising the gospel as well as blessing the people, and Peter knew that. That's why he used the name of Jesus to command sickness to go. He knew it had authority. On Sunday in Pennsylvania, I was talking to the people about authority, and you could look at someone's face, you know, when you're in front of them, you can tell if they're getting it or not. And for whatever reason, they weren't making the connection. And they it wasn't having the impact that I wanted it to have. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what do we do so that they get this? Call one of, you know, being first Sunday, the children aren't in, super kids. And so there's a little guy in there, I think he's six or so. His name is Cody. He's about this high. He's about this wide. And so I said, Cody, come and help me. And he came up and I said, I give you right now all the authority that I have as the pastor you have. I said, now tell Minister Joe to get up and go to the back of the room. He said, who's Minister Joe? So I told him, he went over there and said, go to the back of the room. Minister Joe got up, yes, sir. And he went to the back of the room. And he stood near me, and I told him, now look, if you look at Minister Joe and you look at Cody, it's easy to see that Minister Joe has much more power than Cody does. But Cody has authority. And that authority trumps that power any day of the week. And I said, you can tell him to come back now. He said, you can go back to your seat. And he sat back down. And we have to understand, it doesn't matter that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. It doesn't matter how many people he's taken out. It does not matter. He doesn't have authority over you. You have authority over him. Amen. The problem is you need to stop looking at his record and start focusing on what you have. Amen. That's why I love, you know, these interviews when they're saying, what are you going to do? Because they have this person, this person, this person. They said, you seem to forget we have this person, this person, this person. And we don't care. They asked a fighter once. I fell out laughing. I said, that was a good answer. They said, what are you going to do? I mean, he's undefeated. He's this, that. The guy said, he hasn't met these yet. I was like, good answer. Good answer. Yeah, he's undefeated. Ask me this question at the end of the fight. I didn't watch the fight, so I don't know who won. I just saw that. I saw that in flipping. I saw that, and I said, what are they talking about? But I just can't watch people being beaten up anymore. You know, I have a hard time cheering for them. Hit them again! Hit them again! No. But there's another myth. There's another misunderstanding. That's better. Thank you, Lord. And that is that you have limited authority. You know, you don't have the authority over those things that concern you. I was thinking about that. Let's go to, where do we want to go? Not Mark. I think it's, I'll get to it. Mark 5. This is when they got on the boat, went on the other side to the land of the Gadarenes. And there was a man there with an unclean spirit. Mark 5, around verse 3. This man, he lived in the grave, in the cemeteries. They call it the tombs in the King James. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he'd often been bound with shackles and the chains had been pulled apart. And the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. He saw Jesus afar, and he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High, of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." The man didn't say, "Jesus, deliver me." The man didn't say, "I give you permission." Jesus saw this demonic-possessed man and said, "I can't leave this man like this." And he said, "Spirit, come out of him." He said, "What's your name?" The Spirit said, "Legion, for we are many." Like Jesus was going to be impressed. Okay. He just said, "What's your name?" And he didn't say anything else. He didn't have to, because his authority was being felt. And those thousands of demons that were in that one person started getting a little anxious. They said, "He's going to cast us out of this region." So now they're begging him, "Please send us into the pigs. Don't cast us out of the region." All Jesus said was, "Come out of him. What's your name?" He told him the name, and he wasn't moved by it. See, we hear a name, and if they say, "Yeah, it's no big deal, it's just a cold," like, "Oh, okay, that's fine." They say, "We saw something, we think you need to have a biopsy. Something clutches in your chest." You don't hear biopsy. You hear cancer. And it throws you for a loop. Guy said to Jesus, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." Uh-huh. "Please send us into the pigs." Okay. He wasn't moved by it. Why are we being moved when we hear a name? When we have the name above every name. And then we hear a name and we fall to pieces. Why? God, why does it have to be cancer? What difference does it make? Whether it's cancer, whether it's a cold, whether it's laryngitis, what difference does it make? I said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I said, the works, if you believe in the works that I've done, greater than these will you do. Because I've gone to my Father. What he'll never say, sometimes he probably, I think he needs to say it, is, "What are you getting upset about?" I've given you my name. I've given you all the authority associated with my name. My name doesn't care if it's cancer, hangnail, stomach ache, my name doesn't care what it is. All my name knows is that it's above any other name. Period. And that's what we have to learn. That's what we have to know. That's what we have to do, because it'll change our perception as to what we're facing, as to what's going on. We have the right to change things around us. Paul, they're walking down the street, and this slave girls walk around. These are men of the Most High God drawing attention to himself. Paul got tired of it. They tolerated it for a while, and he said, "Wait a minute, come out of her." Yeah. Just, I mean, that was, he didn't say, would you mind if I cast this thing out of you? No, it was affecting his environment. It was affecting his peace of mind. And he said, I may not have authority over this young lady, but I have authority over that spirit that's in that young lady. We have authority over those spirits that are affecting our neighborhood. We have authority over those spirits that are affecting our health, our well-being. We have authority no matter where we are.
Amen.
We have authority. And didn't he say nothing shall by any means harm you?
Yes.
We have authority. We just have to know it and believe it and act on it.
Amen.
I can't imagine, you know, walking down the street, like I say, armed to the teeth, and someone comes up to me and just says, give me your money. And I say, oh, okay, here. Take everything. Matter of fact, I got to put all my, wait a minute, let me put this down, put this one down. Oh, I got one around my ankle. Take that one off. Okay, here you go. That's silly. Like if the movie Crocodile Dundee, walk down the street and the guy holds him up and says, oh, he has a knife. He has a little penknife. He said, that's not a knife.
Yeah.
This is a knife. Okay. I mean, that's... The enemy comes with stuff. That's what you call a weapon? Oh, no. This is a weapon. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, leave.
Yes.
Leave this body. Leave this neighborhood.
Amen.
Leave this... Leave.
Yes.
Period. And we believe it. And you can't convince us that it's not going to change.
Amen.
We're inconvincible. Okay. A new word. Everyone say, I'm inconvincible. I know God's word is true. We have to know this. We have to take the time, take the energy, make the sacrifices to find out above all else who we are in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? What's available to me because I'm in Christ? We need to find out what that means. We need to take a look at our example, Jesus. What did he do? Why did he do it? What were the results? And then we need to do exactly what he did. And we'll see exactly what he did.
Amen.
If we're not seeing it, there's something we're not doing.
Amen.
We have to know that our body doesn't make demands of us. We make demands of our body. We have the right to tell. Smith, they would ask Smith Wigglesworth, say, how's Smith Wigglesworth feeling today? And he would answer, I tell my body how it feels. I don't ask my body how it feels. I tell it. You're feeling good today. Period. Matter of fact, it's the same answer every day. I'm not going to wake up and say, you're really feeling lousy today, you know? Leg, you're going to hurt. Neck, you're going to ache today. Stomach, you're going to grumble. Anybody wake up saying that? Why do we tolerate it when it happens? Why? We like the noise it makes. You walk down and just... Person, I say, hey, do that again. I like that one. Can you bring it up a little higher? No. I'm walking down the street, and I find myself walking on grass. My wife looked at me and said, your knee's bothering you again? And I look, and I ease off the grass, back onto the concrete. I'm like, no, it's going to function the way it's supposed to function. Period. I mean, that's what I have to do. I mean, I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock, and my head was pounding. And I haven't felt that symptom in a while. I knew what it was for. My blood pressure decided it was on a spike. You know, well, it had a little help. I went to sleep, and, you know, one of the medications that I'd taken, I didn't take anything. I didn't say I'm not taking anything. I just fell asleep, woke up, and went to bed. My blood pressure said, "We got him. We got him." Didn't do any. I said, "No, in the name of Jesus, you go back down to normal, and head, you're going to stop hurting." You know, when I came in, my body was saying, "I want to go back home. I need you to get back in bed right now, you know, or we're going to have a problem." I said, "You already have a problem because I'm staying here. We're doing Hour of Power. We're doing healing class. May go home after healing class, but we're doing what we were assigned to do today." Amen. Period. Amen. Period. To God, it wasn't an act of disobedience. You know, it wasn't an act of frivolity. I went to sleep. Okay. That's happened before. Well, I went to sleep. Well, why was it different this time? I don't care. I really don't. You know why? Because that knowing isn't going to change anything. I'm not going to say, "Oh, okay, that's why. It's all right. That's fine." No, it's not fine. You can't do that to me. You don't have the authority. And we have to take that attitude. We have to stop letting well-meaning people tell you you brought it on yourself. Right? The enemy doesn't have the right to put anything on us. Has anybody saw the scripture which said that, you know, we have authority over all the power of the enemy unless we do something wrong? I haven't seen that. And I tell them, look, I may have missed it, but you still don't have the right. I haven't given up my authority. Yeah, I fell. I got up. I got up. And even if I didn't get up, my mouth still works. As long as my mouth still works, I'm going to get back up. How are you going to do that? I'm going to talk myself into it. I'm going to keep saying what the word says, keep believing what Jesus did, and I'm going to have what Jesus did, period. If I miss it, I miss it. I repent and I keep going. That's all. I'm not going to stand, "I missed it," and say, "Okay, I missed it. Get me." No. You still don't have the right. I mean, does a police officer give up his authority if he takes an unauthorized lunch? If he tells you to stop, you still have to stop. Or the whole police force in this country is going to come after you. I mean, that's the way it is. Right, wrong, indifferent, doesn't matter. Because they have authority. We have authority. We were given the name. And we have to learn who it is, what he did, believe it, act on it. Got it? We're done. We'll finish up next week.